It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Was there ever someone, well, let's say you may have considered them to be an enemy? Well, I think most of us have had people in our lives that we could say that really do not like us. But you know, God's Word is quick and powerful. It's alive, and it helps us through these difficult times. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 says this, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" We have nothing to be sad about today as saved people, because God is for us. Nobody can lay anything to our charge and say, look, you're not a Christian, you're not going to go to heaven. Well, we know the opposite. We know that we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we know that we're on our way to heaven. What shall we say then to these things? In other words, the things that people say against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can stand up against God. Our study in the book of James continues today in chapter 2. If you remember the last time, we left off with verse 19. Today we're going to pick up with verse 20. But let's go back and review a couple of verses, because in verse 17 and 18 and 19 actually tie in with what we're studying today. In verse 17 of chapter 2 of James, verse 17 and 18, it says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And we saw last time that faith without works is lifeless, is what James is speaking of here in verse 17. Yes, a man could say, you have faith, but I have works, according to verse 18. A man could say, let me see your faith without your works, in verse 18. A man could say, you will see my faith by my works, verse 18. And then in verse 19, it says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I believe James is saying here that it's good that you believe in your head that there is a God, but is that enough? He goes on to say, demons also know about God, and the evidence of their belief is uncontrollable shaking. In other words, that's what this word tremble means in verse 19. It's not enough simply to know about Jesus Christ, about God, but you must have him within your heart. You must ask him to come in and save you. The devils, the demons, know there's a God, and that's not enough to save. You must believe that he is able to save, and that you want to trust him as your Savior. Of course, we know that demons and the devils cannot be saved. They chose to follow the devil some time ago. And then we pick up now with James chapter 2 and verse 20. Let's read through verse 23. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" He says, tying in with verse 17 there. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Well, in verse 20, we're seeing here that faith without works is lifeless. In man's sight, it's worthless. But in God's sight, that's what a man is justified by, or a woman. He talks about Abraham in verse 21. Abraham was justified or made sinless. Was he made sinless by works, according to verse 21? No. And then we look at verse 22. It says, "See, faith working or wrought with and made complete by works, in the sight of man, that is true. But in the sight of God, it's not true." Notice verse 23. A scripture was fulfilled there. It says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith," the scripture fulfilled, "Abraham believed God," according to that verse. And then we see that righteousness was imputed, or righteousness was bestowed upon Abraham. Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him according to Genesis chapter 22 and verses 2 and 3. And this is after he believed God in Genesis 15 and 6, not before. Then righteousness came. This is complete, lacking nothing according to the Word of God. Notice Genesis 15, 6 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." In Genesis 22, verses 2 and 3 says, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and after him there, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." Abraham did as God said. Well, what happened because Abraham took his son Isaac to offer him? He wasn't saved by the act or the works, but he received blessings because of his obedience or his work. Genesis 22:17 says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Romans 4:6 says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Righteousness imputed. One man has said this, God made a swap. Actually, the correct term is imputation. He imputed our sin to Christ and his righteousness to us. Well, we're saved by faith through grace, and it's not of ourselves according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And James is not telling us here that we are saved by works, but he's telling us that man sees the works. That's our testimony to the men and women of this world. But God sees the heart. Now notice with me James chapter 2, reading with verse 24 through 26. James goes on to say, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." The key here is ye see, man sees. Verse 25 continues, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And we're seeing here that God is saying, you see then, Abraham was justified by works, not by faith only, in verse 24. Man, ye see. Man sees the outward. God sees the inward. Now, when we get to the section of Scripture that talks about Rahab, it said Rahab, was she justified by works? In the sight of man, yes. But in the sight of God, no. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not." Notice the words there. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And note this, some translate harlot here, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, as innkeeper. If you go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, it says, "And before they were laid down, she came up," this is speaking of Rahab, "she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So you see, even Rahab believed God. She believed. They had heard. And that's just like people today who hear about God. They hear the word of God, and they trust the Lord to save them. They ask Jesus to come into the heart. They're saved not by works. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He has saved us. Now, as we look on, the body is not a live body if it does not have breath, according to verse 26 of James chapter 2. Let's read that again. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is not a living faith if there is no activity, if there is no works. It's not a, in other words, once again, let me remind you that James is speaking of what man sees. To a man, if a saved person does not do anything for the Lord, that person who's looking on sees no works, so therefore there is no life within that person who is supposed to be doing works for the Lord. Now the verses in James chapter 2 about works teach that man sees, in verse 24, and can only see other men as justified by God through visible or outward manifestations, and that's works. Let's be clear. A person is not saved by works, doing something to earn salvation. A person can only be saved by and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've already quoted Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 says this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." James is not saying a person is saved by faith and is not saved by faith and works. What he is saying is that our faith is made visible to this lost and dying world as we are actively working, serving our Lord, because we are saved. We cannot work for God if we are not saved. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God, according to Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses," and that means works, "are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Now, there's many more verses that we could cite today in Romans chapter 8, verses 5, 8, and 9. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." In Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, "And they said," this is speaking to the Philippian jailer, "and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And I think of that grand old hymn, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." May we never forget, Jesus paid it all. It's been good being with you today, and next time we'll pick up with James chapter 3. Let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.